My feeling about this show is there's way too much of me on it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my feeling. My personal feeling.
Hey, what's that sound I make when I don't agree or disagree? Yeah. One of those.
There you go.
David Spade has a new sitcom.
So you're also wishing I would talk less.
So,
that's what you're saying?
I don't.
What?
Huh? Anyway. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon, sponsored by Inaudible.com. Inaudible.com, books you can't understand by people who mumble. I'm your host, Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dennett.
Dave is actually one of the people who reads on Inaudible.com. I think we have actually, Great Expectations. We have a little bit of Great Expectations read by Dave. Let me just play that for you right now.
Great. Thanks a lot. Could you start with... like a Tale of Two Cities, where I go, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. Like something odd, obvious.
All right.
Thing?
Well, here's the nice thing about this is that I said it was inaudible, so it didn't matter what you did.
That's true, but I wanted to at least have some
accuracy. Basically, what I did was I played you a no lose hand. I dealt you a royal flush, and you went, the cards cut my fingers. Drop.
I think
chips on floor.
If you look at my life, you'll know that there is no such thing as a no lose hand.
Okay.
All right.
Old man, take a look at my life.
So
I'm a lot like you were.
That's right.
When Neil Young sings that now, since he's an old man, is that weird? Like, how old does the old man have to
be? Yeah. Well, it's ever increasing. So now he's like singing to a 95-year-old.
Right.
Like, old man.
It's like Paul McCartney singing that when I'm 64. He's like older than 64, right?
Does he still sing that song?
I bet he does.
I bet he doesn't.
I bet he doesn't. He winks at the audience. Okay.
No, he doesn't wink at them. He gives them the
thumbs
up.
Why do we always have to start with a Beatles bet? remember our first show, you bet who the walrus was.
Yes.
And I bet that it was Davy Jones from the Monkees.
Is that true?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
So I can't remember that far back.
You really should listen to some of our episodes sometime.
No.
Okay.
No.
We can use all the subscribers we can get, Dave.
I don't get paid enough for that.
All right.
That's true. I should listen to them all on Stitcher Radio.
Sure. Listen to them on iTunes first, then listen to them again on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
And then try to find them somewhere else and listen to them on that as well. It'll just help us out.
Well, yes.
We don't care.
Same to you, audience. You try and find them somewhere else. Just try.
This is one aspect of podcasts that I do not care for, which is the first 5 minutes are a begathon.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, what part of PBS did you like the most? Was it the pledge drives? Well, listen, here's the thing. Every podcast begins with, hey, folks, tell all your friends and listen, if you listen to us and all this and we could use a donation, we could do this, you know, and I'm from out of town and I need money for the bus. Look, I get it. Look,
it's gotten more streamlined. Like I remember PBS like donation drives when they were done in-house, like at the local PBS station.
That's right.
And they were done by young people who just goofed around. Like, what I remember is they had a blender and they put, pretend money in it, and then they blended the money. I don't know what the point of it was, why they were blending the money, like putting the money into a blender.
They didn't realize that was illegal.
Well, it was funny money.
It better be.
It wasn't real money.
Or the feds are busting down the PBS.
Or it was funny money after they finished with it. But it seems like now, like then, it was just goof town.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people who worked at the station... You know, in those days, a bunch of long-haired hippies who worked at the station.
Right.
Just fill in some airtime while they're trying to get money. Now they have these super slickly produced segments that I think are made somewhere at some sort of central location in Russia or maybe in China.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where, but they're made in some
somewhere place. Communist.
And then they're
though.
Showing on
Wait,
all
Russia
the
isn't
stations.
Still communist, are they? How old is this show? Is this a rerun?
Is this a rerun?
Is this one of the podcasts we did in the 80s?
1979.
Oh, okay.
This is we're like, boy, those hostages in Iran. That's some terrible stuff, hey?
Yeah.
Holy cats. You know what it would take to save them? A Canadian.
I agree.
No. So,
Argo.
Our turn. That's what you meant. Our turn.
Yes, our turn.
Argo to shine.
Once again, I was just mumbling and mispronouncing Avro Arrow.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm also one of the readers on inaudible.com.
Well, my reason I'm one of the readers is I just had a filling done.
Oh, that's absolutely right. You just went to, I'm assuming, a dentist.
Yes.
That's probably the best person
on my right side of my mouth, it's hanging slightly down, and I'm drooling a little bit as I speak.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It's quite nice.
You're like about half droopy dog.
I kind of, yeah. I feel like I'm sneering all the time. Like, I feel like kind of Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure I didn't look like Elvis, but I just feel like Elvis.
Now, were you in any pain at this present time?
No.
You were drugged up.
No, needle? You don't need drugs.
Explain the process. What happened?
Well, they take a needle. Well, actually, what it's so carefully done now. They take a cotton swab mm-hmm. with some sort of freezing on
it. By the way, my wife Pia is behind us right now working on her books, and she is a needle phobe, so she'll probably be wincing through this whole story. But please continue.
Okay. Then, so they put some...
They swab you.
But it's not that bad, right?
Is it a Q-tip?
Yeah, they just take a cotton swab and they just swab it
onto
your gum.
Now, is it a special cotton swab or is it a Q-tip? Because a Q-tip seems would like fill your mouth with like random cotton.
I think it's a medicinal cotton swab.
Medicinal swab.
Swab that they
use. Good, okay.
And they swab it onto your gum.
Right. Could I do a joke, Dave?
Yes, you may.
All right. When I was a kid, we were very poor. Mm-hmm. We couldn't afford Q-tips, mm-hmm. so we just used P-tips.
Okay.
Which are just pencil erasers. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you. And so that was where mind your P's and Q's came from.
Absolutely, it was.
Oh, okay, so be careful about putting pencil erasers in your ear.
Mm-hmm. You might just erase your memory accidentally.
Yes. So
if you rub too hard.
Yes, there is a problem with rubbing too hard. So yeah, they swab it on, then they let it sit for a little bit, so it does a little bit of freezing.
Right. Then they give you a little couple of these.
Then they take...
thwack thwack. Do you feel this? Do you feel this? And you're never quite sure if you do.
No.
You feel like I feel something. Good enough. We're going in.
So then he takes a needle.
Oh, now it's the needle.
The large needle.
Okay. You shouldn't look at it.
You don't. Don't look at it. But I did.
Right.
I kind of glanced down because the thing is he rested it on my lip.
Ooh,
as he pushed it into my mouth. So you have the cold.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's the coldness of the needle or the glass or whatever it is.
Right.
And then you can kind of feel it because it's the first one, right?
Right.
So he does like a bit.
Right.
He puts a bit in.
This is like when I'm listening to This American Life. They always have one thing that's really disturbing that I'm just like, oh.
This isn't that disturbing, though.
No, it's just because, getting a needle in your mouth. No, it's not disturbing at all.
It's not in your mouth.
Audience,
it's
am I wrong?
Gum.
Is this disturbing?
So
it is pretty disturbing, isn't it?
But then
we'll
they stop.
We'll be done with this in about 2 minutes.
But then they stop.
Then they stop.
And then you get the next one, right?
You get a second needle.
Yeah.
What?
Because the first shot is kind of like a half a dose.
Oh.
Because you don't want to put all that freezing in because that is painful. It's really the freezing going into your gum that's painful.
Oh, okay.
So then you let that sit. You let that kind of take effect.
Right.
And then you do the rest of the freezing.
Okay.
And then he left me alone for a little while, so I read a book.
To think about what you'd done.
To think about what I'd done.
What
exactly.
What book did you read?
Some porn. I brought Penthouse Forum with me. Just...
Okay.
I didn't have
it's amazing how people don't believe it could happen to them.
That's true. How many Vietnam vets?
Still, does it take to screw in a prostitute? Okay.
And there's a lot of incredibly shaped women out there, is what I've learned from...
Is that what they say in the forum?
They don't say that, but they always give you the measurements, mm-hmm. as if they took a moment. Wait a second. I don't want to ruin the moment, but I have a tape measure here. What do we got here? 34, 26. I have no idea what good measurements are, though. Is that good? 34, 26, 32, 34?
Oh, no, she's going to die.
38.
She's going to die.
Hourglass
her top
figure.
Will crush her bottom.
Isn't that what you want? If you look
a
at those magazines...
A top crushing a bottom.
No, but... Not a top crushing a bottom.
She's structurally unsound.
That's right.
She's architecturally
that
unsound.
That seems to me to be what they
Does
want.
Does she have
in
a load-bearing wall?
If you look in magazines nowadays, mm-hmm. women are now designed, surgically designed to be a top crushing bottom misconfiguration.
Right.
Isn't that not true?
I don't know. But if you're looking
they
for...
They do not get bottom...
If you Google top crushing bottom, something else comes
unless
up.
Unless they live in Brazil, they're not getting bottom implants. Is what I'm saying.
I guess
you.
We're going to have to see when the Olympics come up. So you got the needle, second needle comes in.
Second needle. And then after that, it's nothing. Like when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
and I had a lot of cavities.
Take a drink, everybody. We said when we're talking about when we were kids.
That's right.
There's the two
can
reasons.
Can I take a drink
you,
too then?
Yeah, sure you can. The two reasons you drink when you listen to our show are one, if you hear a siren go by, mm-hmm. or two, if we start reminiscing about our childhood.
Yeah.
All right.
This isn't a reminiscence though. This is an actual factual.
Wait, that's the same thing, though, isn't it?
Is it? Okay.
A reminiscence? Have you just been making up your childhood?
Yeah.
What?
I've just been lying about it.
You weren't best friends with little Archie?
No, I was not. I was
little
not.
Little Jinx?
I was not. My nickname
and
was
little
not
little Iodine?
My nickname was not
and
Jughead
little
when
Lulu?
I was a kid. That's true.
And little Lotta? And little Dot? And little... God, there was a lot of these back then, weren't there?
The times... People were smaller in those days. I don't know if you ever sat in an old theater... And try to fit your legs into that gap between the seats.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work nowadays.
Nope.
Does not work. In those days, there was a lot of littles going to theaters. So when I was a kid, like, because in those days, it was, I don't know what they used it for filling. Was mm-hmm. it, wasn't gold. Was it pewter? I have no idea what they used. Lead.
Mercury.
So, yeah,
apparently some mercury, yeah.
A mixture of mercury and lead.
Which was nice because you always knew what temperature it was by where your teeth were in your mouth.
Your teeth would swell.
That's right.
And crack. And mm-hmm. then have to get more filling. So they had to put like this thing. It was like a dam. And mm-hmm. you, now it had these metal clamps that clamped to your teeth right at the gum line. Mm. So that was really comfortable.
Mm.
And then it stretched along your mouth. And I guess it was to protect your rest of your mouth from like...
communism.
Flying debris from the drilling
sure,
into your teeth.
Yeah.
And all this hot metal being poured into your teeth.
Wow, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
So nowadays, though,
mm-hmm.
it's just some sort of like putty
right.
that they stick in and kind of shape.
They do it all online now. They do it all on the internet. The dentist
online.
Isn't even there. He Skypes your filling in.
That's right. No. So they put in like he puts in like a little shaped thing, like a little mold
right.
that's pressed down into around your tooth. And then he puts putty into that and fills it up. And then it's hardened with an ultraviolet light.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's futuristic.
It's a totally different thing now, right? It's not hot metal. And
do you know what's nice, too, is if, say, you're a vampire, the ultraviolet light will kill you. So, like, say you're a dentist. Probably your two biggest fears are, one, you will lose a patient from something, a tragedy.
Yeah.
And your second biggest fear is vampires. Because that's how vampires get you, is they come into the dentist's office,
mm-hmm.
and you open wide, and you put your hand in. And once you put your hand in, hey, who's lunch? You, sucker. But with an ultraviolet light, yeah. boom, on that, you know if it's a vampire or not.
That's why they wear garlic-flavored rubber gloves.
That's right. That's why
they... You always thought it was because of AIDS that they started wearing rubber gloves and masks. No, it's in order to keep their garlic breath
right.
back from you.
Uh-huh.
And also they have the rubber...
That's good. That's good to know. Now I got two things to talk about connected with your story.
Okay.
Remind me of to just talk about my dental experience right after this. But I just want to say, mentioning like old timey movies. I watched Cheaper by the Dozen, the original version of Cheaper by the Dozen.
Okay,
have you seen that film
with William Powell?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
He's an efficiency expert.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who, and I'm going to spoil this movie.
I believe Myrna Loy is in that film as well.
That could very well be.
They were in a lot of films together.
And a whole bunch of kids.
A great team.
And so the whole thing is, you know, it's, hey, I got a lot of kids, and he's an efficiency expert, and he had a loving family, and this is how it all works,
mm-hmm.
and some family things. And by the end, the guy dies.
Okay.
And he dies.
Yeah.
And the whole family gathers around and goes, well, I guess we're going to have to work harder. Yep. Gonna have to work harder.
But not smarter.
Well, yeah, no, they don't say that.
Okay.
And it's just somber, and that's the end of the movie. Is dad's dead.
Yeah.
And well, let's keep
well,
working hard.
Well, I think it's based on a reminiscence. It's based on a true story.
That's the problem, yeah. It's like, boy, that true story is a huge bummer, huh?
They kept it a little too close to the
truth. Like, I don't
the
think they do. Since I believe there's Cheaper by the Dozen sequels with Steve Martin, I don't think they go that route with the modern version.
They do. He's a ghost in the other ones.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
An efficiency ghost.
He's an efficiency ghost expert.
Oh, that's good. All right. You know what? I like the idea more then.
Yeah.
I just thought that's a really huge bummer ending. It's like, family means everything. Dad's dead.
It's funny you say that because I've watched a lot of recent Steve Martin films and often thought they'd be better if he were dead.
Ooh. Too soon. Not at all. Not at all too soon. Is he? I heard he was a ghost.
I heard his career was a ghost.
Do you know what it felt like, though? Like, it felt at the very end like, oh, now we're starting the sitcom, because all sitcoms in the 60s and 70s, even 80s, even 90s, fuck, it's just the normal trope.
Even the noughties.
Parents are dead. One of the parents, at least, is dead, and now we got to, like, change, you know,
yeah,
we got to, like, yeah, we got to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it felt like. It felt like, without the fun sitcom-y, here we go now, we're going to end this movie on when, like, say it was the Brady story, you're just going to see it when the Brady dad's wife dies, and that's how we're going to end the Brady movie. The end.
So when he dies in the film,
yes, in a horrible mafia gun shooting.
Is that how it happens?
Yeah,
that's what
the mafia doesn't like being efficient.
He was earning money on the side to support this enormous family.
Well, he
by
was
working
saying
for
to
the
them, crime doesn't pay.
Oh,
and he actually proved that it didn't pay, and they went, "We can't let anyone know this." So they put on their garlic-covered gloves. Now, the only reason they have that is because they were eating garlic with their gloves.
Yeah.
It was unrelated,
to
the dental thing at all.
Yeah.
And then they shot him full of lead, and he went, "You're using too many bullets. You're using too many. Just one in the head will get me."
Yeah.
That's all it takes. What are you doing? But no, they did it Godfather. James Caan style.
Okay.
Just like this is, and that's what killed him wasn't so much the bullets,
mm-hmm.
was just the waste. It's just like, oh, it's too much. And just,
in that scene in The Godfather,
mm-hmm.
you know, the guys shoot James Caan. It's many bullets flying around. He dies. Then he's just laying there, right?
Mm-hmm.
The camera should slowly pan over, and then there's a station wagon just full of the whole dead family that just happened to be there at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many bullets do they need?
Agreed.
And then kind of a telephoto shot zooms forward from that, and there's a dead farmer in a field. Just a stray bullet caught him, and his cow is also dead beside him.
Right, and then you keep going along, and then you see Stalin's dead, and they go, oh, that was good.
I was
going
to say, they go, it's JFK.
Oh, damn it. That would have been good. No, not that it's good that JFK was
shot. And it was a totally wrong time because The Godfather, of course, takes place after immediately after World War II.
I did not know when The Godfather took place. I was trying to juggle character. That in my head. Yeah. So my Stalin reference was
better
correct.
Than mine.
Good for
better
me. Than mine. High five, Ian.
But I like mine better.
All right, fair enough.
Even though it was historically inaccurate.
Now, here's what happened when I went to the dentist. I went to my dentist, and it's almost your penthouse forum story. Because she goes, hey, you want to watch a movie? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And so she's going, all right. Now I think she's got a choice of movies.
Yeah.
No.
Emmanuel.
No. So she's flicking the channels. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, this is the way it's going to be. All right, so I see Stripes, and I'm like, that's fine. Let's stop there. Stripes is fine. Yeah. So we stop on Stripes.
That's a good one.
Right. Just before the mud wrestling scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think there was a shower scene with John Larroquette looking at the girl.
Yeah,
the
we had that scene, and then we had the mud wrestling scene. We had basically all the scenes involving a lot of hardcore nudity.
Yeah.
And my dentist is an older woman, mm-hmm. and she had a young assistant, like quite young.
Yeah.
And so both of there's no way. I feel weird. I don't want to be with the news.
Awkward.
Because it does feel like, well, this is the movie this guy wanted to see. And it felt like they had never seen Stripes.
Yeah.
So I just asked them to put on a softcore porn while I'm getting my dental work done. Like, no, it's a coming-of-age movie about a man-child who learns how to forget. It's got a weak third act, but mm-hmm. the first two are very solid. John Larroquette was an alcoholic through this and doesn't remember most of the film. It's interesting in the commentary tracks when they talk about that.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he does not remember the film, shooting the film. Yeah,
really?
Later he sobered up.
When?
When did he sober up?
Was he sober during night court?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But way before then, yeah, he was. Okay. He did. But well, the Stripes time, yeah, he was.
Is that why his hair went gray so early?
I think he was scared by an efficiency ghost.
Efficiency ghost expert.
And it said, let all your hair go white at the same time. You'll save money on dye.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. How efficiency ghost worked. I think that was a Bill Cosby movie as well. Efficiency ghost.
Expert dad.
Yeah. Anytime you start your movie with, okay, it's not great to end your movie with dad dying, but I get that's how you get an Academy Award. Maybe it won an Academy Award, but that's how you do it. You have like a character you love die at the end, yeah. and then everyone applauds at some point. But when you start your movie with your dad dying, say a Jack Frost or a ghost dad, boo. Boo, you can't win on that.
You can't win?
No.
You can't win an Oscar, you mean?
Well, you're not going to win an Oscar for one thing. With the one about Dad's a Magic Snowman. No, that's not going to win
an Oscar. That didn't win the Oscar.
No.
Wasn't even nominated.
No. I think it might have won a Canadian Snow Award. They have Canadian awards for films that involve snow.
You know what's weird is there's 44 different names for that award ceremony.
Half of them swears.
Half of them swears.
Terrible swears. That's something they don't mention with all the names for snow is like half of them filthy.
Okay. I just want to say one more thing about dentists before we move on.
Okay.
Well,
we're sponsored by 1-800-DENTIST.
That's right. 1-800-DENTIST.
1-800-DENTIST. When you want to find a dentist and you don't know how the internet works.
InaudibleDentist.com.
Or a Yellow Pages.
InaudibleDentist.com. Mm-hmm.
Most are.
Well, that's when you ask you a question. You're just like, whoa, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
While I'm doing this dental surgery, would you mind reading from Great Expectations?
How can I? Why don't you give me an easy one to do? It's all just mumbling. It's all the same.
It's all the same.
That's all you had to do.
You know what?
You could fix this in editing.
I don't want to nitpicks with you.
Nitpicks. That's what we do when we pick apart movies.
I don't want to.
That is a good name for a movie scrutiny show.
I don't want to crochet shovels.
Okay.
But.
Call a David Spade.
My response at the beginning of the show was much funnier than if I just mumbled.
Okay.
Thanks for your vote of support.
That wasn't a vote of support. That was just of acknowledgement.
Do you remember?
You said a thing.
Do you remember? Yeah. Let's go back.
David Spade has a new sitcom coming on this season. Oh.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Are you in favor of it?
Hey, it's good. Fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Well, that's what the Sklar brothers say, right?
Oh, is that what they say?
Well, if you...
By the way, they have a good podcast you should probably be listening to instead of ours.
Scarborough Country.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just turn this one off right now and download that.
That's better. So, but their joke is that your voice goes up when you're lying.
Yes, so, you that's know, true.
How did you like, you know, her one-woman show? That was great. It was really good. Which I quite enjoyed that joke.
How'd you like your trip to Disneyland? Oh, it was really good.
So if you don't like it, you're like, oh, gosh. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you're telling the truth.
Well, that's how you know. Like... When you get to the gates of Disneyland, here's what you got. Mickey always lies and Goofy always tells the truth.
Well, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Don't listen to him. Listen to me. One of these doors leads to the Magic Kingdom. One to a grizzly death.
One to a tiger.
That's right. Are there any tigers in the Disney World? In Jungle Book. Yes.
Yes.
And
what was his name?
So, Shere Khan.
Yeah, Shere Khan. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Good pull. Good tiger
really
pull.
Good, yeah, really good tiger pull.
And he's like a mafia.
Speaking of Pendo's Forum.
He's a mafia guy in, I think, Tailspin.
What?
I think he's a mafia guy. Like, I think he, like, runs the jungle. He's got, like, a suit.
Okay.
And he's just, like...
Power suit.
Power suit.
Yeah.
And,
Has padded shoulders.
Maybe. I don't know if a tiger would need padded shoulders.
It's a power suit.
All right.
Padded shoulders.
Yeah, he's got one of those Paula Poundstone suits.
Yes. Yeah.
When you got a look, stick with it.
Oh, yeah.
Wait 20 years, it's going to come back.
Probably.
Yeah, and then you're like, who's laughing now? It's you and Steve Harvey are laughing now.
You know what? It's 30 years later. It still hasn't come back.
Yeah, it's true.
Keep on trying, guys.
Yeah, the big clown tie, keep not working. So much. She's funny, though. But anyway, go ahead, move on. I don't mean move on as like, hey, move on. I mean, it's like, let's move on.
I was just going to say, do you remember when you were going to the dentist as a child?
Take a drink.
This would have been as a teenager.
Oh, sorry. Don't take a drink.
Don't take a drink. Unless you like think teenagers is still, it's still a recollection.
Yeah, it's true. Take a drink.
But do you remember when the dentist switched from bare hands in your mouth to gloves?
No.
You don't remember that changeover?
I was going to say, do you remember when fluoride treatments became flavored? I thought that's what you were going to say.
Oh, I don't ever remember them not being flavored.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they were not flavored. They would say, do you want grape flavored? And you'd be like, what is the difference?
Or bubblegum?
Yeah.
Or cherry?
You know those ones that all taste the same?
Yeah.
Is there a chemical we're putting in your mouth?
It tasted like slime. Yeah. It tasted like that toy that was called slime.
But you know what? I didn't mind. I didn't mind the fluoride treatment because, do you know why?
No.
Got to sit and read.
Oh,
didn't have to go to school. Didn't have to be in class bored. I got to sit in a chair.
I couldn't figure out.
After a grown man had rubbed his fingers all inside my mouth without gloves on.
Yeah.
And they're huge hands, right?
Yeah.
Because you're a little kid and it's this big grown man with giant thumbs.
Sticking
them in your mouth.
Well, what I couldn't do with the fluoride treatment was breathe. Because you would put that tube in your mouth, right? And then you put your tube in your mouth to suck out the goo. Right. Like as in like because you got so much saliva coming down. You got to put the tube in, suck that out. But if I shut my mouth, which you're supposed to do to have it suck out, you can't breathe then because you breathe a thing in through your nose and the air just goes whoop, up the tube.
Wrong.
So I couldn't. So I tried breathing like through my mouth, like had the mouth open a little bit. But then stuff would just fall out of my mouth because it was all messed up. And it was just a bad time.
I don't remember that.
Well, you weren't there. We didn't know each other.
I don't remember. We didn't go to the dentist together.
Yeah, you were my dentist spotter.
We used to sit in the waiting room reading the illustrated Bible together.
Right, and Highlights magazine.
The lion's lying down with a lamb. It's about time. But
I guess he's full.
All I remember
is what a lion would do if he was full.
He's full. That's right. There's only one lamb left.
Yeah, he doesn't eat because he's bored.
Yeah,
he just eats when he's hungry. And do lions eat lambs?
I would imagine they'd eat anything that's put in front of them.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
I don't think they're picky.
If I was a lion, I would go for a lamb over, say, like a zebra. Like a zebra, holy shit, that thing runs fast.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lamb.
Yeah.
Eat something slow.
Well, I think that's why, like, in herds, the babies are in the center, aren't they? And then the adults are on the flank them. So that could
very well be. Do lions and lambs live in the same area?
No, they do not.
Well, what? Okay, now that's the amazing thing.
I mean, they don't normally, but I mean, they could if you had a farm with...
Oh, if you
like
had a farm...
A pasture.
I'm not talking a zoo situation. I'm not talking about
a zoo situation, but I'm just talking about like in the daily, you know, people don't eat lions, they eat lambs.
So they keep
lambs for wool and for food or whatever.
Right. You keep lions to eat your Christians. When you have too many Christians,
yeah.
You gotta buy a lion.
You have to have some lions.
And then they will eat the Christians.
Yes.
But back in the old-timey Bible-y days, which is, I think, that's what you call them, right?
Yes, Bible-y.
Would a lion and a lamb be within like 100 miles of each other? Would they like be in the same
area? Well, apparently
area?
So is it was used as some sort of a metaphor.
Well, you were aware that lambs were over here and you were aware that lions were over here. I just can't ever remember seeing a nature show where a lion took down a pack of sheep. Like, and well, it seems like that would clearly be a thing
sheep,
to do.
Yeah, but sheep aren't like, they're not wild animals.
Right.
They are a created, husbanded
right.
animal that's been created over time.
I'm just wondering if this makes any sense at all, this lion and the lamb nonsense.
Well, it makes sense as
I'm
an
not
analogy.
Saying nonsense is in the Bible. That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
But it's just like I'm trying to figure out a peace, right? The idea that You know, you well, could, I think you could say wolf if you wanted.
Well, let
the
me just say, I think that would make a lot more sense. A wolf lies
down to you
down with
because
the lion.
You know the fairy legends tales. Or the fairy tales, yeah. Whatever you want, the stories.
Now the lion though. I mean, here the thing: the lamb is peaceful anyway. The lamb doesn't want no trouble. The lamb doesn't want this lion action. You know, it's just the lion's got his he's feeling better about himself. Mm-hmm. He's lying down.
Yeah.
Then what happens? The lion like starts.
He's lying to himself if he's feeling good.
Did the lion become vegetarian after this?
I have no idea.
Or does the sheep have to get the fuck out of there by morning?
I have no idea what the... Yeah, I've often wondered about that.
Hmm.
Is that like when this time comes, when this prophesized time arrives?
Right.
And to be honest, I'm not too clear on where that comes from in the prophetic part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Daniel, Ezekiel? I have no idea who said it. Because mm-hmm. most of those guys...
I just know Ezekiel as a gluten-free bread.
Is that right?
Well, actually, I don't think it's gluten-free. I think it's just a hearty wheat, like a lot of rye.
Okay.
A lot of densely packed rye.
Ezekiel is the Kiss concert of the Bible. That's the one with like the flaming sauce, like the flaming wheel and all this. And
right.
God coming down in this giant throne with all this stuff happening around.
Right.
You know, in fact, that's part of why he almost wasn't in the Bible.
God wasn't almost in the
Bible?
No,
Ezekiel.
Oh, okay. Because I was going out. Like, that would be very weird if they left God out of the Bible. That would be a short book.
Because he...
And then there was nothing.
Because he portrayed God. Because he gave God an image.
Oh, I see. All right.
They're like, wait a second.
And so we've
That's against the second or what, the third or whatever it is commandment.
But where does it say in the Bible that God made man in his image? Does that say that anywhere?
His likeness. Doesn't say in his image.
Oh, okay. In his likeness.
Yeah.
What's the difference between image and likeness?
Well, likeness is our similarity to God in terms of our rationality. Our personality.
Oh, I see. So not
spirit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So in what ways are we we're similar in spirit?
Yes.
We're similar in likeness?
We're similar. Yes.
Okay.
We're similar to God in our makeup.
Oh, okay.
But not in appearance.
Oh, not in appearance.
No.
Oh, okay. I always thought like you know, it may be interesting if like we're what God thinks he looks like. But then it's like you think your voice sounds like something, and he's never had a videotape of himself, and he's like, "Oh, I can't believe I sound and look like that. I assumed I looked like those guys." No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, not at all.
And I was going to say that that's why we're made so poorly, because God has no idea how he actually looks or operates. So he made us into these
Well, there's never and
broken
then
machines.
Made a mirror. Because why would you? Because
he never made a mirror?
No, because he's not vain. What's he got to check?
He didn't create water. Water is a reflective surface. He could look in the water. Remember, his face is above the water?
It is?
Yeah.
He can't go underwater?
That's like
So you're saying God can't go underwater.
The first line, right? Is God did something above the water, right?
Like I'm not sure.
Like
you've
in creation,
got to tell me. It's been a long time since I got quizzed on this.
It's been a while since I looked at it too. So the creation story though, it
18,
doesn't
when I was
it doesn't
18,
start
I took
it doesn't
my
start
last
with
quiz.
Zero, right? It doesn't start with zero.
Okay, where's it
God
start?
God moved the waters. Like so there's something there at the beginning that God creates over.
Oh, okay.
Right, in the creation story.
Right, but is he can breathe underwater?
I don't think that's important.
Okay.
He's not us.
Okay.
As Kierkegaard said,
we can't. So if we're in there.
There is an infinite qualitative gulf between us and God. That's what Kierkegaard said.
Kierkegaard.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good name.
What a character.
That's a great name.
Yeah, it is a great name. Kierkegaard.
Yeah.
Like even though the stuff he wrote was nuts and he seemed like a nut, he still has like the greatest name.
Which is
Thorin Kierkegaard.
Which is why they take him seriously.
Or Soren Kierkegaard.
There's like a lot of guys with sillier names that came up with more profound things, but people just didn't take them seriously.
That's right.
Barney Slop Pedal.
Lousy.
That's some really clever things to say,
some great
but
stuff.
Just like, you can't bring that up at a conversation and get laid. But
that's
you drop Kierkegaard
that's what Kierkegaard
at the coffee shop.
No, it's totally what
stuff's
Kierkegaard
happening.
Was doing. Like, that's what all the theologians were doing in those days. They're all about getting laid.
By the way, here's what I think's wrong with Spider-Man today. Is if you watch the old Spider-Mans from the 60s, he's always starting in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And people are dancing, and they're dancing in the coffee shop,
yeah.
And they're having coffee,
having
and Peter
fun.
Parker's looking in the coffee cup,
mm-hmm.
seeing his own reflection. He's bummed out because Spider-Man is bummed the hell out.
Okay.
He's got the same amount of depression as a spider, and spiders are depressed.
They are?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, they think they're fat.
Right.
They see the wasps and they go like such a nice waist.
Oh yeah.
You know, just
that's
like
true.
How many legs do I have? Oh, I got 8 freaking legs. I'm just like a freak, you know? And so that's why they eat, you know, and then they eat the wasps and now they go, "Now I'm fatter." You know, I'm just eating cuz I'm angry.
It's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, and so that's what Peter Parker absorbed.
Yeah.
When he did that. Coincidentally,
that's the reason it's called Survival of the Fattest.
Yeah. Well, what people don't realize is when the spider bit Peter Parker, the spider then absorbed the abilities of a teenager.
Oh, is that right?
To just mope. And that's it, basically.
And be always right.
Yeah, always right. Yeah. A lot of attitude. Mm-hmm. Had really bad skin. The power of repulsion through bad skin.
I've been there.
Yeah. So that was an interesting.
Still there, some would say.
Yeah. They called him Teen Spider, and he fought crime as a spider.
Wow.
Yeah. People don't realize that.
People really don't realize
that. By the way, nowadays, Spider-Man spoilers in the Spider-Man comic. Spider-Man has died.
I heard that.
Peter Parker died.
Did he die? I thought he was just kind of swallowed up into the consciousness of someone else.
Well, maybe. Here's what happened. Okay. Again, spoilers, folks. Dr. Octopus swapped minds with Peter Parker.
Swapped spit with Peter Parker.
Yeah. And so Peter Parker was in Dr. Octopus, who was dying at the time, body, and then he died. But because they also had each other's memories, when you swap bodies, you get the memories.
Yeah.
He remembered all the things that Peter Parker did and Peter Parker was, and he decided to become a hero himself. He decided, I'm going to become a good guy. But he's really not a great guy.
So wait a second. So now
he's a jerk. Spider-Man's a jerk right now.
Spider-Man is like a 60-year-old kind of pot-bellied guy?
Well, he's in Spider-Man's body.
Oh, he's in Spider-Man's body.
So he's still
body.
Youthful
oh, that's right.
body.
Oh, okay.
So now he's like macking on Mary Jane and this kind of business. But he's actually inside of him is Dr. Octopus.
So how long do you think this thing will
year.
Be? A year at the most?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you how long it'll last. When's the next Spider-Man movie?
I don't know.
Done. That's when.
Why would I know that?
That's when.
2 years from now.
Okay, but that's when.
3 years from now. How long does it take?
Whenever they have to reset things back to the... And it's fine. It's a fine story. I'm not in any way objecting to it. But it's that's when everything will go back to the way. And you know when Superman will get his red underpants back? When they have him back in the movie. That's when. But they're not going to... In the next movie, he's going to be underpantsless.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's just wearing the blue long johns with no business down there.
Super crutch.
Feels weird.
Yeah.
Feels weird. You know, you need the red underpants. It's the old circus look.
Super manly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know...
We've run out of things to say.
No.
After a year and a bit, we're done.
I have not run out of things to say. I was going to say, a few shows back, I think maybe 50 shows back, we were talking about Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Dear Lord. Okay. Yeah, 50 shows ago? No, yeah. It was less
I think
shows
it was about 50 shows back.
All right.
Maybe 40.
All right.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think it could have been 70 shows ago.
70 shows back.
Before we began this podcast.
Before we even started the podcast. We were talking about young men
in the dentist's office reading Highlights magazine.
We were talking about it and we kind of got into an argument and a bit of a fist fight, which I edited out.
Right.
Over which was a better film.
By the way, when we say we have a fist fight, what we did is a senior wenches type debate off using our fists to make lovely little characters going, hello. Hello, David. I like the Majesty's Secret Service.
And then I have a little box I open up and go, it's all right.
Yeah, that's right.
And close it again.
Hey, young folks out there, do you like senior wenches jokes?
Are we going back far enough for you?
All right. Wait, what's that I hear? Topo Gigio material. Well, okay.
I love you, Ed.
Wait, it's basically the same voice, Ian. All my Ed Sullivan characters.
Do Mickey Mouse talking to Topo Gigio and the little hand character.
I think that you're lying to me, Mr. Mouse. Oh, no, I never lie.
I think that maybe he is lying.
How did Peter Lorre come into this?
Because fun to do Peter Lorre's voice.
Okay.
Right. One was more Spanish. I guess Topo Gigio was the Italian mouse.
He was the Italian mouse.
Hey, that's the mother me.
It was Johnny. Mouse. Johnny was the name of the hand.
Yes, Johnny.
Johnny.
Yes, Johnny. Okay.
All right. Did he have any other characters? Didn't he have
the guy in the box that he had his hand?
And then he had the racist dead terrorist.
The racist dead terrorist. And then he had a dumb hick that also...
Well, who didn't?
That he spoke
of. Let me just tell you, folks. The dumb hick will survive everything.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'm a matador.
Why are you mad at it? Because the door hit me on the way out. That's why I'm mad at door. And so on.
That's not funny.
Quiet, Johnny. It's all right.
Please continue.
So we were talking about Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Sure.
Which I felt was the best James Bond film. You felt The Living Daylights was the best James Bond film.
Right. So there's a James Bond party and everyone gets to go into a room that represents the movie that they like the most.
Yeah.
David is in a room by himself.
Why?
I don't think most people think that's the best one. I think that is a unique position to take.
Well, so you lent me the film because you're kind of like, Dave, take this home and learn your lesson.
No,
and
I said you should maybe watch it again. Sometimes your memories are better than your things.
And so that's what I did. I watched it the other day. I watched it a couple days ago. I sat down.
I really like the opening.
And I have to say, not only is it the best James Bond film, but it is better than I thought it was. It is better than I remembered it to be. And I liked it even more. And I would, okay. Before I said, if Sean Connery were in it, it would be the best James Bond mm-hmm. film, bar none. Mm-hmm. But I have to say now, I scratch the whole Sean Connery thing. George Lazenby was fantastic as James Bond.
Okay.
And he's almost as good as Daniel Craig. Like, I think Daniel Craig is the best. This is because he's been in more films. I would have loved to seen what George Lazenby could have done with that character if he wasn't such a hippy-dippy and decided to grow his hair long and grow a beard and then, you know, take bad advice from people. And you should not be James Bond. That's not hip at all, man. You need some kind of square. Yeah, I should quit that multi-million-dollar job I have and become, what, a beach bum? Yeah. Which is what he did.
Yep.
Not good thinking, but hey, it was the 60s and people were making bad choices.
We just
all over
watched
the
I think the next film was Live and Let Die. No, wait,
yeah,
no,
Live and Let Die. No, Diamonds Are Forever.
Sean Connery came back.
Yeah, for Diamonds Are Forever.
And then Sean Connery went away again. And
well, they lured him with a lot of money.
Yeah, that's how you lure a Scotsman.
And so I think, I'm not sure that I blame George Lazenby entirely because I do think that they kind of pushed him out.
Mm-hmm.
But he is great as James Bond. But not only is he great, he's like his acting is fine. And I mean, they have Diana Rigg there and stuff like that. But, okay, one thing I love about Daniel Craig and I love about George Lazenby is that they're actually athletic. Mm-hmm. And so they run and they do actual physical activity.
Right. You know,
there's a sequence in On Her Majesty's Secret Service where he's trying to escape from this ski lodge on top of a mountain. And he's climbing on the cables for the ski lift.
Yep.
And it's actually him doing it. It's actually George Lazenby doing those things. You can see him. You can see his face as he's doing it. Now, so I really appreciate that. And the same with Daniel Craig. I really appreciate the physicality he brings to the role.
Yeah.
And even though I know there's lots of scenes with blue screen in On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Like a little bit jarring.
During the ski sequence.
Especially, they didn't know they were going to have Blu-ray. No one knew Blu-ray was coming out. No one knew. If you were watching on your regular TV, who cares?
It'd be fine.
It's fine.
And in fact,
it's a little jarring when you got the really good picture.
And to be honest with you, I still felt it's fine. And maybe just because I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah, you're okay with the
conceit.
And
I'm okay with it. I can go with it, right? I'm not going to... What? Didn't they have computers
you,
then?
You can watch the old-timey black and white movie where a guy's driving and the street behind him that's going whipping by has no, like, obviously,
and
a
he's
car
moving
just
his...
drove through him.
Yeah.
And he went through a cow. And they're like, okay, I got you.
And he's moving his hands at such a speed that the car would be in the ditch, you know, but...
That I don't get.
I never understand. Like, they've never driven?
Yeah. Is that how you used to drive cars? It was just like, now just all
but
you got to do is just whip the wheel back and forth.
You're an actor, right?
Some say.
So, you know, with your extensive experience driving, you would bring that to the... And I kind of feel that's the same with actors, right? But like a lot of them come from New York.
I don't drive, is what Dave's saying.
Yeah, you know.
But what
I'm
do,
not blaming.
I have driven video games, and I know you don't drive like that in a video game.
You better not. That's a dangerous thing to do, and I've done that.
Do you know what would be fun is recreate driving scenes in movies and like drive like the people are driving in the movie and see what happens. If this person actually was driving like this, what would occur?
Yeah.
My biggest beef, by the way, in like any movie or especially TV, especially TV now, and this is just so petty. It's a small thing, but it's the small things.
We're used to that from you.
You know what? It's the small things that kill you.
Yeah.
That's bacteria. Couldn't be a smaller thing. It'll kill you.
Quarks, well-known, cause a lot of concussion.
Quarks and quarks.
Yes.
Will kill you.
Quirky quarks.
Here's the thing. A cup of coffee in a sealed thing, like paper container.
Yeah.
You know how you have that paper coffee thing?
Mm-hmm.
No one knows how much that weighs in anything. They're just whipping it around, whipping it around. And everyone, like, they get it poured and then immediately, glarkle, 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 glarkle. Okay, well, your mouth is on fire now. You're absolutely ridiculous. You didn't swallow what just went in your yap hole. Look, just mime a fucking cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Day one acting school in New York. Listen, eventually you're going to go on Law and Order and they're going to make you drink a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Let's work at this out.
Yeah.
Let's work this out. And I don't understand why they don't. I guess because you have to do the scenes over and over again. You can't fill it with a liquid that would give you the proper weight.
Yeah.
But it's just whippity dippities. It's like on its side. It's like, it's just infuriating. Do some fucking space work, people. Come on.
And one last comment on Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
You can talk about that as much as you want. Telly Savalas is good.
Yeah, he's fine in it.
And you know what? Telly Savalas is good in everything.
You know what? I've never
Kojak,
seen...
Kojak, not the best series in the world. Telly Savalas?
Yeah.
He sells it.
Oh, he's great in The Dirty Dozen. But you know, I don't know him from Kojak, so I don't really associate that. I've never seen the show. Like, I know of his character. I know the...
Have you never seen an episode of Kojak?
I've never seen an episode of Kojak.
It's on MeTV. You should check it out.
I know it is.
It's worth hitting on the old PVR.
That'd be the station I tape Emergency on.
Well, while you're doing that, why not scan forward, see where Kojak is, give it a shot. I think you will enjoy the show.
Okay, I will. So...
You're not going to do it at all.
I might.
Oh, I hope
you do. I'm not saying I won't.
No, I believe you are. I don't believe he's going to do it at all.
Maybe next week I'll talk about it.
Maybe you should. Don't make the mistake of getting the new show. There was a remake of
Kojak 2000?
Yes, where he's a robot.
Okay, I don't want to watch that one.
Yeah, Kojacked Up.
Kojacked Up? Is that what that's what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's both a cop and a jack.
Yeah.
And he will like jack cars up and save people and then interrogate them.
Yeah, we don't want to watch that.
Right.
So, what was the name of that? Oh, forget it.
No, tell me.
No, there was a movie with a kangaroo.
Oh, that was a Kangaroo Jack.
So Kangaroo Kojak.
There you go.
His character, a kangaroo character with a Tootsie Roll or a Tootsie Pop in his mouth.
Yeah, that's a valid joke.
I should have. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Fix it in editing.
I will.
All right.
Okay, let's just put a pause in.
Yep.
And then I'll say the joke.
All right, let's take a pause.
Take a pause that refreshes.
Why don't we take that pause we usually get after you do a joke, and we'll just put it in there.
There's no laugh track.
Hmm?
I'm used to the pause.
No.
Do you think you don't get a pause after you make a joke?
Sorry? What's happening?
So the other thing about the other way that Honor Magic Secret Service beats your choice for best film, which was what again? Moonraker? Is
Yep. Is... Moonraker. That was it. Octopussy.
Those are the best films.
So what was it? Oh boy, View to a Kill. I'm gonna go with View to a Kill.
View to a Kill. Yeah, that's not good.
That's a rough one.
Oh.
That's a rough ride.
So, the other thing that beats your choice, okay, I'll be serious. Your choice was Casino Royale, the remake of Casino Royale, or the actual true Casino Royale, unlike the 60s travesty.
Right. Woody Allen as.
Woody Allen and David Niven. Actually, David Niven. David Niven is Sir James Bond.
I could go with David Niven actually as James Bond if he'd done it straight. But yeah.
But that movie is just one of those horrible films where everyone's having so much fun that you just watch it with a giant frown on your face.
I'm sorry to do one quick tangent, but I'm going to say, I might talk about this in a second. We saw Live and Let Die, and in it, one of the extras is you see Roger Moore playing James Bond in a comedy sketch in 1964. On a British television show, and it's quite cool to see. Okay.
So the other reason that Honor Majesty Secret Service, in my opinion, beats Casino Royale is that Honor Majesty Secret Service actually makes me cry a little bit at the end. Like, I do cry at the end of that film, whereas I do not feel, I didn't feel that way in Casino Royale.
Okay.
It didn't bring that. So to me, Honor Majesty Secret Service, you could make that film and you could stop there. You know what I mean? That could be the last James Bond film and it would be perfectly fine.
Well, it'd be a pretty sad ending.
It would be a sad ending, but it would
want some revenge, don't you? You want him to get that guy.
He doesn't get revenge, though.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
And what? In
later movies, yeah.
Well, it's not really him, though. It's some guy, some lovey playing at James Bond.
Oh, such nonsense. Such nonsense. No, the character does get revenge on Blofeld.
When?
It's
which movie?
Oh, geez.
Don't tell me Roger Moore when.
For her, I think it's for Your Eyes Only.
Oh.
Have you seen the opening of For Your Eyes Only?
Yeah.
Well, then
but
you know.
I don't remember that.
All right, here's how it goes.
It's been a while.
Let me recreate it for you.
I'm not a fan of Roger Moore.
It's a very weird opening.
And his corset.
Well, you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
How can you say I'm wrong? And you like Casino Royale best.
I do. But I also like Roger Moore.
Why?
Why?
Tell me why it's good.
Because he's a charming guy. It's fun. He brings the fun into James Bond.
Ugh.
Yeah. No, it's fun.
But so did George Lazenby. His impersonation.
It's not a contest. I can like them all.
No, you can't.
I just don't like Timothy, his name? Dalton. I don't like him.
He got peaked.
He got boring.
Well, because the movies got boring. Because they tried to action them up rather than have the spy fun. Like, have the romp.
I can like Sean Connery. I can like George Lazenby. And I did. I was all right
with
it.
You can't like Roger Moore, though.
That's incorrect. I like Roger Moore fine.
No, you can't.
But
it's illegal.
Here's the opening for her eyes only. For your eyes only? For someone's eyes only.
For your eyes only.
Stick this in your eyes. Only?
Straight.
Acid in the eyes.
Yes.
Only? All right. So
for your eyes only to a kill.
Here's here's how the opening goes. It's James Bond. He's at a graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at his wife's grave.
Oh, that's nice.
And then he remembers, oh, fuck, I got to get that guy.
Yeah.
So he goes, gets a helicopter.
It's already been two movies.
Yeah, I've told, longer than that.
Oh, three movies. That's
many
right.
more.
Man with a Golden, no, I don't think there's that many. There's
Diamonds Are Forever, Live and Let Die,
Man with a Golden Gun. Then 4 Years Only.
Was it?
Yeah.
Boy, it feels like there was something else in there.
Because then it's Moonraker.
Wasn't Moonraker before
no,
For Your Eyes Only?
No.
Okay.
Because isn't Jaws introduced in For Your Eyes Only?
That could very well be.
And then he comes and he's in
all right, Moonraker. But here's, let me tell you what goes down, brother. So he's looking at the graveyard. Oh, my wife's dead. I forgot. Okay, I must have been having too much sex with the ladies and too much drinking. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a helicopter.
Of course it was too tight.
So he gets the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Blofeld is hanging out. Doing something outside.
Yeah.
Just planning. Got a cat.
Wait a second.
On his lap.
So he's in a helicopter.
Just hanging out. Okay. So anyway, James Bond goes, fuck you, and comes down with a helicopter.
Yeah.
Scoops him up on the, the slats.
Yeah.
Whatever you call them, the helicopter.
Yeah.
Scoops up the wheelchair.
Let's call them pontoons.
Cat goes, I'm out of here.
Okay.
Takes off. What people don't know, the cat's behind it all.
Okay.
People don't know the cat was running things.
He was the mole. He was the one who gave away the location of Blofeld.
Right. So takes Blofeld. Over to a smokestack, large smokestack, drops him in the smokestack, movie begins.
Wow.
Yeah, just goes, yeah, you know what? I forgot over the course of those movies that you killed my wife. Now I'm going to find you. I obviously know where you are. And now I may be remembering this wrong, folks, and you might be going, other things happened to make this more logistical. But I think here's what the meeting was they were all sitting around the table and just went, you think James Bond should like ever deal with the fact that this guy killed his wife? Yeah, but we can't put it in the movie because we got it all plotted. What do you want to do? I don't know. We're missing an opening. Let's just stick it in there. Sounds good. Done.
Ding, 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 ding.
But Live and Let Die,
not great.
Not great.
It's kind of like the theme song to the movie.
Yeah.
It's good in parts.
And they play it too much during the movie. It's like, we get it. And then at one point, they even have like a woman singing it. And we're like, we get it.
You got Paul McCartney to write a song for
it.
You.
But one thing I did like was continually through the movie, Roger Moore is like, you got two types of James Bond.
That was his one last collaboration with George Martin, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. Forget
okay.
what I just said, because I think they did Tug of War together, which is
interesting. So Roger Moore, it seems, through this whole thing. Now, it's not the greatest James Bond movie, because James Bond just stumble bums into everything and lucks out all the time. Like, just stumble bums. Like, he walks into like a this area he shouldn't be in, like Harlem. He's in Harlem.
Yeah.
It's like, just sit down over there. All right, I'll sit here. And then rotating wall. What the? Okay, so you think like, he ain't falling for that again.
No, why would he?
Later the same movie. Here's your table, sir. Enjoy the singer who's singing Live and Let Die. Yeah.
In a kind of funky way?
Yes,
or?
A little bit.
Okay.
And then he sits down, and then it lowers into the floor. What the? It's like he's gone through a wall. He's gone through the floor. You just expect one to now, like, take him through the ceiling. Just like, look, buddy, look for hydraulics. Check for a trap door before you sit
down. There should be a movie
where
someone grabs onto the floor as they're going down, because it's not that big a hole.
Yeah, that is a good point.
You
no
could
one
grab...
ever does that with a trap door. Just like, T-bone.
Yeah.
Boom. Now you're up.
Well, because it's going slowly. It's not like it drops fast, right? The chair kind of...
And water.
I don't have time to put my drink down.
Hello, Mr. Bond. It's great to see you. And blah, blah, blah. And then they, you know, do this speech.
Let me explain my entire plot.
Yeah, here's my sidekick. He's got a hook. And it...
we call him Mr. Hook.
It's very strong. Is that a thing? That your hook's strong? Is that a big deal when you've got a gun? It's a really big deal. Not really that big a deal that he's got one strong hand that can crush you if you put something in it.
How about a razor hat?
So they have to do stuff like, listen, we're going to have a bet here, and he will cut off a finger for every time that you're wrong. Because you got to do something with Clawy. Right, it's just like he will loosen that nut, which will release the tank shock. He's got to do something with his fucking claw.
Yeah,
it's kind of sad. But Jane Seymour is in there and does a nice job.
Yeah.
But there's a horrible character in there. This woman who, through the whole thing, is just scared. Like, she just is scared through the whole thing. Like, like the first thing she tries to, like, come in with James Bond on a gun, and he grabs her and is like, oh, don't kill me. And then, like, she goes into the bathroom and there's a snake in there. Oh, there's a snake. And then she goes out into the jungle like, oh, there's a thing in the jungle. And then she dies. And you're like, what a terrible story arc.
She was played by Edwin.
Pretty much. Edwin would have done a nice job on that. But yeah, the whole thing is just her going, oh. This is terrifying. Though they did have one scene that I did like for the simplicity of it, which was, you know, for all the elaborate, we're going to tie you to a laser, we're going to put you on the moon, we're going to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
They just went, well, this is our crocodile farm. Here's what we're going to do. Throw chickens in the water. Now we're going to put you on this tiny island in the middle of it, and we're going to leave you alone here with the crocodiles.
Yeah. Why do they leave him alone? Why not just watch it?
Yeah.
This is your moment of glory.
Yeah.
You finally got James Bond where you want him.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to watch him get killed?
I think, okay, there's two reasons I think you do this. One is because your arrogance always has to be their downfall.
Okay.
Like, it's a Columbo situation.
It's called hubris.
Well, you can go arrogance. Isn't arrogance another way of going hubris?
But I like hubris.
Okay, am I incorrect?
No, you're fine.
Oh, very good. So it wasn't a correction. It was just a homonym? Synonym.
It's more of a homage.
Very good. I appreciate you doing an homage to my joke.
Yeah.
So that wasn't even a joke. So
comment. It was an homage to your comment.
Yeah, basically, like all James Bond movies, when they come down to it, are an arrogant off. You've got the most arrogant guy in the world who's like, I will control the world, and I will do all these things, and I can kill people on this. And then you have another arrogant guy who comes in, I'm arrogant as well. Well, I'll show you arrogant, you arrogant, arrogant. And so you've got to tie the guy up. Ah, now you will be killed. And now I'm so arrogant, I will leave. That's how arrogant I am. Well, I'm so arrogant, I'm not going to be scared about being killed. Well, all right, well, there we go. And it's just the arrogant off through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. That's why they have to leave. So you got James Bond on the Crocodile Island, though they mix him up with alligators too. That was weird. I don't think alligators and crocodiles like hanging out with each other, but fair enough.
Yeah.
So they throw chickens in the water, and then he's got to escape from that. And it's legitimately frightening when you see crocodiles.
Alligators and crocodiles are always arguing over who would make a better bag.
And so they're coming up, and you can clearly see those, like, it's a real guy there, and it's like, it's actually scary. It's like, you know, scarier than fakety-fake stuff that you see. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, he escapes by, like, running on the alligators. like it's a cartoon all of a sudden.
Snap?
Like, basically, he escapes the same way Yogi Bear would from that situation. That was a bit of a flaw. Also, the other flaw in this...
Roger Moore's in it.
The other flaw in this is he's done a lot of good work for UNICEF. Just on that alone, we should cut him a break. I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, I totally did forget what I was going to say. UNICEF threw me off because I was thinking, good for the United Nations Children's Fund. What a good organization that is.
They are. But, you know, you don't see it anymore. Like, remember kids would go around collecting at Halloween with their little boxes? Don't do it anymore because it's dangerous.
Why?
Because kids are carrying money around at Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, there's other kids going around with special box cutters to open up the boxes and take them out. I don't know what the danger is. From other adults? Hey, you got a box of money there. Give it
to
me.
You got a box of pennies. Come here.
I want to have those. I used to keep a roll of toonies by the door.
Yeah.
And so whenever kids came, I would just give them
$2
coins, would pop it into their boxes.
Oh, that's nice.
But you never see it now. So I still have the role there, but no one ever.
My old mean joke about that was I used to collect money for UNICEF as a kid, but I kept the money, and so like a small village is now dead, not because they didn't get the money, but because they were going to rat me out.
A small local village.
That's right. Okay. Oh, I was going to say something about Roger Moore, and I forgot.
That's
completely.
Okay. Don't worry about Roger Moore. The other thing that you...
Here was the problem. Magic exists in this, and they don't disprove it. They have like...
What's wrong with that?
You shouldn't have magic in the James Bond universe. You shouldn't have someone who's a witch or something. You shouldn't have that work. You know, I don't think that's something that should be in that world. You know, by the way, there's a sorcerer. Boo.
He
fights a dragon.
He is,
no.
But James Bond is constantly magically resurrected. And reincarnated into another form.
Do you think
form.
In the James Bond world, by the time you got to, say, Live and Let Die, he had saved the world that amount of times? Or do they just, like, start fresh? Aside from the one, of course, where he remembers my wife's dead. I got to go take care of this guy.
I don't know. I've never read the book, so I can't speak to...
That's a good point.
I can't speak to how that universe works. Because I would say that's the true James Bond universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the movies are a barnacle on the side of that.
Well, I'm sure, like, if you see... All right. Without spoiling anything with Skyfall, some stuff blows up. So, but the next time we're in the James Bond world...
Some stuff blows up,
Well, the next time we're in the James Bond world, are they going to be repairing stuff in that city? You know?
No.
When so-and-so
they will not be
nukes Paris
rebuilding
and
Big
the
ben
Eiffel
again.
Tower falls,
yeah.
You know, the next time we're in Paris, is the Eiffel Tower half-built? Like, do we...
No, they just put two spotlights to shine up into the sky.
I thought you were going to say they just get the one from Vegas and put that there in the meantime.
A smaller one.
Yeah.
They use a scale model. They have a Lego one built in this place. That's what happens.
Lego would do that.
They would.
You get some kids together. They will make a Lego thing so
They'll
fast.
Do whatever.
Oh, that's so tough on Christmas now, is like the building the Lego things with my nephew.
Oh, because it
so
comes now
hard.
In those complicated...
It's so difficult. And he got this one, like I'm sure whoever got it for him thought it was a great idea, but it was one like, you can build 8 different things with this.
Is it Bionicles now? Is that the...
No. Well, Bionicle was a Lego...
Yeah.
Spinoff. Let's go spinoff.
Okay.
It was Laverne and Shirley to their happy days.
Okay.
They exist in the same universe.
Sure.
You can, but they have their own life. But yeah, it was like this, built eight different things. So we had, like, we're up on by the, to the fourth thing. I'm just like, I just don't even know anymore, man. I just can't do this. It's just so hard. Just so hard. I don't have the attention span. I just can't.
Well, I have a friend who's a Lego collector.
Okay.
He has an entire storage, like a whole storage space, a rented space full of Lego. But one of the interesting...
He has a storage space full of Lego?
Yeah.
Wow. Does he buy the kits or does he buy the...
He buys everything.
Wow.
He has makeup. He has the big blocks, the Duplo. He has
Duplo.
The Lego.
There's no micro. They only get bigger. They do not get smaller.
They do not get any smaller.
Okay.
But he has, like, he has stuff like he's made a lamp out of Lego because there's Lego pieces that were made that had an electric current that could run
yep.
down the center of them.
Yep.
So you can click it together and plug it into the top and make a lamp with your Lego.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He has a Lego gun. It was a little gun that fired Lego bricks out of it.
How hard?
Not that hard. It's just this works on a spring.
Okay.
Spring-loaded little
Neat.
Gun. Yeah. Just stuff like that, yeah.
We used to have a battery one.
They only made a couple of them. They made some prototypes and they...
Yeah, we used to have a battery one and I used to touch the battery thing to my tongue because it felt neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like that. Getting that battery charge.
Sure, everyone likes that. Everyone likes that. So the other... Well, maybe we'll talk about it next week because we're actually getting pretty close to the end of the show here.
Okay,
so,
all right. But
so next week we're going to talk about another show that you wanted me to watch, which was comedians sitting in cars sitting,
getting coffee.
Getting coffee, yeah. So we'll talk about that next week.
All right. Generally, positive, negative. You don't like the coffee, you like the comedians.
Well, I'm not a big coffee drinker.
You like the cars.
I'm not a big coffee drinker. I'm a small coffee drinker. No, I don't like coffee at all. So the cars are awesome. Although he tends to drive all the same kind of cars, except for one show where he drives a Rolls Royce. Most of them are kind of small foreign cars.
We got into a little bit of a discussion after the show. You asked me why you thought comedians bought cars.
Yeah.
And
you gave me a very smart answer.
Thank you. I want to repeat my smart answer to the listeners.
Well, let me just ask you then, because what's interesting about the show, because Jerry Seinfeld's one, David Letterman is another.
Yeah.
And Jay Leno is another one that I can think of. Not as, Letterman not as extensively as Seinfeld and Leno, I think. I mean, Leno has like a car museum now.
That's right.
It has a Stanley Steamer and all kinds of things.
And again, he never spends any of his Tonight Show money, as he will always tell.
Of course he will. Because all the Tonight Show money goes into his chin. So, but what do you, why do you think?
What an odd joke.
Why do you think?
I'm laughing at it, but I don't know what it means.
Hence its oddness. Why do you, Ian, why do you think the comedians buy cars?
Because when you're a comedian, you spend so much of your time on the road that your car becomes your second home. And so when you make your first amount of money, the first thing you want to do is get a better car because your car's, you have a cheap car to start with and your bum hurts and you want to, I wish I had a better car. So that's your first investment. So you always associate money with cars. You want to you get that first car, that felt good getting that first car because that's your first big purchase. So when you get even better, you want another car. And then you start learning about cars and then you start getting more and more cars. So there's always something like, because being a road comic, you have a special relationship to cars.
Okay.
Jay Leno, I know, used to live in his car,
yes.
Like in the early 70s.
Yeah. I think that's true to a degree, but I also think there's a certain, I'll call it kind of nerdiness, although that's a word I think that's been kind of tainted. But there is that kind of collector mentality that's part of stand-up comics. I think there is a certain amount of, there's that need to own, to have, kind of organize.
There's an OCD-ness that you need to be a comedian. And
so I think that can come out into collections of things as well.
Yeah, to organize your thoughts and do that. The other side of things, I think, is when you're a comedian in the States, you drive around America and you see a version of America that you do not normally see. Most people don't. You know, you just stay in your own state or you go vacation somewhere. But you see such a huge amount of America. I think you become patriotic in a way that a lot of people otherwise wouldn't. Like, you're usually patriotic to your own state, rah, rah, my home team. But you become patriotic to your own country. So I think a lot of these comedians like American cars and the history of American cars. And you learn every time you go to a new city, you got to kill some time. So what are you going to do? You're going to walk around and probably see the little museum or what's this town famous for. And that can really help develop a love of cars as well. You see, this was where this was this, and this was where that was at. And you see that with like a Leno or a Letterman is like they love America a lot, like a lot. Letterman knows, this is the blank state, this is the show me state, this is the whatever. It's like, how do you pick up all that? Because he drove through them and had to spend all this time in them. And you have to learn a little bit about them because you want to, make fun in a gentle way to the audience there.
Yeah.
So, I find that connects there as well. Sure, so every time in this show you're talking about Jerry Seinfeld has a car, he's got a little bit of the history of it too. This car was built for blanks. Yeah, with this and this. And, you know, it's a really shitty car actually, but it's got this and this and this.
Yeah. He says, it's a terrible car, but a great living room. That's how he describes a Rolls Royce. So, yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
I remember Jay Leno's old joke. I forget about what car, but he went at seat 7 for dinner.
Nice.
Yeah, and what they do, you know, they never go out of service. They just, you know, they crash. You hose off the dashboard. You sell it to the next person.
Definitely must have been describing a fifties or late early 60s car. Those things. Well, not just that, but if you look at the dashboard, they're like an instrument of death. They have all these things jutting out of them. You don't see that in cars nowadays. You know, when you look at a car now, it's all smooth. Everything's all smooth and padded and covered. In those cars, it's all these things jutting out of them towards your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, much more dangerous seeming to me.
Okay, well, remember that you want to talk about that next week, because I do want to talk about that show, because I do want to talk about that show.
And it'll also bug you to know that I watch Sleepwalk with Me. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay. Generally, though, your feelings? Generally.
I thought it was okay. I think you liked it more than I did.
Yep.
Because it was about a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
So that immediately grabs you more than it'll grab me.
There's a lot of elements in it that I just went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Stuff like, you know, you got to be
And I don't think in any way it's a perfect movie. I think, you know, again, it's a movie based on a one-person show that works better probably as a one-person show than it does as a movie.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, as a one-person show, you're basically doing stand-up about your stand-up, which is meta and interesting and folds in on itself in a way that when you have the distance of a movie, not as much.
Yeah. Well, the play has a much more physical immediacy and it can transmit that kind of those feelings a lot better than a film can.
Right.
So it was good. I mean, I didn't hate it. I have to admit, I was organizing my CDs while I was watching it.
So. Right. And then you watched Pride and Prejudice again.
Yes, I did. No, I didn't. I haven't watched. I've watched it twice, which is enough.
Are you Are you going to get Netflix again, or are you going to just let it go?
I found some problems with service.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not that impressed by the...
What happens? It just shuts off halfway?
Yeah, it just freezes quite often.
Oh, geez. We haven't had that happen. Okay.
So
we're getting that, though.
I have an older Blu-ray downstairs.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the one that has the problems. Although it has Netflix service with it.
Yeah.
It seems to have more trouble. The newer one upstairs doesn't seem to have any trouble. And that one's Wi-Fi.
Huh.
The one downstairs, it's plugged right into the router. So you'd think that one would just have fine
service. Our Wi-Fi, I've never had that problem with Netflix.
Yeah.
We're having it now with our cable where it just keeps looping. Like you'll see a scene and it'll just loop that scene over and over again.
Yes.
Or it'll just freeze halfway through on the HD channels.
Yeah.
What we're saying is Shaw sucks a little bit. What I'm assuming we're going to do is we're going to call them up and they're going to say, oh, you should really get the new system.
Yeah, you should get the EXO system.
The EXO system. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. Because when you sold me this for your HD channels, that was never mentioned that you were going to be upgrading and making your old product obsolete. So you're dicks, is what I'm saying.
Is the other
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way they could take the old system and goose it or add something that'll make it make sense. But no. So that's Dave and I having our TV watching problems. And we're discussing our cable bills with you.
And on that note.
You see, we told you about two things we could have been talking about that sounded interesting, didn't they?
But
we didn't talk about those. No. We went to our cable bills.
It was immediately my two cable bills.
Oh, you got two cable
bills? I'll talk about that another time. That's a whole different problem.
Do try to remember these topics for next week.
All right.
I know you don't listen to the show. You're not a fan.
I'm not a fan of the show.
And by the way, don't write to the site, Dave, and say how much you don't like the show.
Like you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my job.
That's right.
You're a good cop, I'm bad cop.
Yeah.
We arranged that at the beginning.
Sure, sure.
Oh,
my feeling about this show is there's way too much of me on it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my feeling. My personal feeling.
Hey, what's that sound I make when I don't agree or disagree? Yeah. One of those.
There you go.
David Spade has a new sitcom.
So you're also wishing I would talk less.
So,
that's what you're saying?
I don't.
What?
Huh? Anyway. So.
What's up with you, Ian? What's coming up for you?
Well, I've got a couple of things, Dave. And actually, you've got something to plug now. Normally you don't, but now you do.
What's that?
Let me build to it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, now you remember. My show Sideswipe, which is an improv comedy show we do using video games, and the stakes are the players themselves. That will be going on at the Stormcrow Pub on January 15th, 8 o'clock, here in Vancouver. So Stormcrow Tavern.
Yeah.
You can look that up on Facebook.
Don't go to the Stormcrow Cavern.
Yeah, only
That's a dangerous place.
Yep.
Full of Stormtros.
Yep.
Who, well-known producer of guano. It's very dangerous.
Half our material is mispronunciations and then riffing on those. And that's the way it's going to remain.
Here on Dreeky Snaggin'.
Yep. That's why Inaudible.com sponsors us.
That's right.
What else are we doing, Dave?
Well, Ian, I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad you remembered, finally.
Sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
I think April.
Is it this year, though?
It is this year.
Okay. I don't know.
You agree to things before you know. Continue.
This April.
Sure. I think so.
We're going to be at FanFest. Doing a live Sneaky Dragon.
Yeah. Let me look at my to-do list while you vamp.
Should we announce the
sure.
our guest, or do you think we should...
If you remember, yes. Here we go. April 20th.
April 20th.
Fan Expo Vancouver. We're going to be there. Sneaky Dragon will be there. And we're going to be...
that also involves us.
What?
We're also involved in Sneaky Dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, wait, why am I doing this? You, take it.
You go ahead. You do it.
All right, we're doing a live Sneaky Dragon at Fan Expo Vancouver. And our guest is going to be the lovely, the talented.
The invisible.
The invisible. She's turned invisible. Well, because it's on radio. Wait, no, it's not. We're going to see us live. Pia Guerra is going to be there.
That'll be great.
Yeah. Woo! She just wooed from behind. And I wooed her and made her my wife in
the past.
There
you go.
And that's how you win a woman, is you woo her.
You woo her?
You just stand behind her and go,
woo! That's how you win them.
That's right.
They love that.
You win by wooing.
Woo!
That's how mating rituals happen here in Canada. Mm-hmm. But unrelated to the fact that I am married to her, she is a brilliant comic talent. I won't say comic talent, but you're thinking, does that mean comedic? She's also funny, but she's in the comic book industry. She's, top drawer.
Yeah.
I'd never be able to get her if I didn't live with her. Never be able to book that.
What we're saying is we're booking above our station.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You guys take advantage of that and come to see us at Fan Expo.
We wish you would.
Yeah.
Last year, very popular.
Yeah, it was very fun. So popular, they let all the – they did not let everybody in.
I got turned away.
That's right. I requested that.
to be honest.
Yeah. I put your picture up at the front and it said, this man steals.
That's right. Wanted.
Your heart.
For crimes against commodity.
Oh, boy. For some reason, I thought you were going to say, and this makes no sense, for crimes against Clamato.
Because mine made sense.
Guys, I am so tired. I, for all that I make fun of Dave for not being able to finish a plug, I can't finish a show. Anyway, hope to see you at Stormcrow. The other thing's way in the future. I'm doing the Critical Hit Show again the 30th of January here in Vancouver. If you want to come see us, please do that. And
at the Rio.
Yeah, and at the Rio. Yeah, it's also dragon related. If you like dragons.
It has dragons as part of it.
Yeah, there's dragon related things.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Next week, we will talk about comedians in cars getting coffee. We will talk about...
Sleepwalk with me.
And Clamato juice.
Clamato.
That's right. Clamato juice. And we will have more mispronunciations.
And chlamydia.
Clamatos and chlamydia will be our topic.
And climate change.
Oh, my God. Thanks for tolerating this. We really appreciate... We'll be better next week. We really are so very sorry.
We were awesome.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.